Hey, this is KT from KT Got Game. Glad to be back in the saddle. Zach is out this week, but the great Jabbar Washington joins us again in addition to Tone. We talk about some things from the previous podcast that I wanted to weigh in on. Manti Te'o, Alabama, Notre Dame, Jabbar's comment about not believing that one player can beat you, Nike versus ESPN commercials, Prince and Michael Jackson, a lot of good stuff. From the last three podcasts for which I was out. And then this week we talk about some new things. The Lakers, D12, Powell, Kobe, D'Antoni, or like Zach likes to call him Antoni. We had a this or that. Bill Belichick versus Parcells. We hit Jabbar with Zoe versus Joy. And then we talked about NFL, a new section that I think a lot of you guys out there are liking. Some NFL talk, Colin Kaepernick, Jim Harbaugh. And then who wins the Super Bowl, 49ers or Ravens? So get ready, and thank you for tuning in. This is KT from KT Got Game.
Make it to the top, wait for a bit or more, seesaw on summit that you never seen before. It came back reverse, honey proof for what it's worth.
I'm back and I got my man Jabbar Washington here with me. I haven't seen him in a while, man. It's good to see you, brother. Thanks for filling in.
It's been a while. I appreciate the opportunity.
I've been listening to the shows while I was over in Germany. It was some excellent shows, man. That Honey Nut Cheerio show was the second highest rated show. No, seriously. That was the second highest rated show, man. You guys did a good job.
With 13 downloads.
Yeah. Yeah, you saw that. It doesn't count
was it,
the...
Was it really 13?
It doesn't... No, it was more than that. It doesn't count the iTunes downloads either. So,
well, I was going to ask you the status of that. We're clear on iTunes. We're there.
Yeah, we're there. We're there on iTunes, man.
Okay, good.
That's, yeah.
That's the way. That's the best way to find us at this point.
It is. It is out there in KT Got Game Nation. Just go to KT Got Game and iTunes, and it'll pop up. So, no, thanks for being here, man. What you been up to, man?
Nothing, man. Just working and coaching, man. Enjoying life. Getting a little older, man. So. It's been okay, man. He's trying to catch up with you, man.
He sounds wise, doesn't he, Tone? On all the podcasts I saw, he sounds like a wise man, right?
He's nice and reserved, and Zach and I are kind of going nuts, and we're all mad.
Right?
And then it turns to him, and he like lets the room breathe for a minute,
and then gives and then imparts his wisdom on us.
You know, I don't like to blame one player.
Tone, I'm just trying to fit in, man.
Oh, I hear you, man.
No, you don't need to fit in. That's what's good about it.
We're good.
All right, we're gonna do a little catch up because, like I said, there were three really good shows, but I had a few things I wanted to talk to you and Zach about. And Tone, the first thing is Jabbar. I couldn't believe you said that, right? And I think you kind of qualified it, but
said
I was
what?
A little. That you don't believe in blame. You guys are talking about the Broncos game.
Right.
And you said you don't believe in blaming one player.
I don't.
My thing is a turnover, whether it's football, hockey, soccer, whatever, basketball, a turnover, a missed shot, a bad play in the fourth quarter is not equal to the same action in the first quarter, right?
Right.
And so the player that turns the ball over under 2 minutes left, right, 72-74.
Right.
The point guard that sets up a bad play, or the quarterback that throws the interception on, you know, fourth and four or whatever in the fourth quarter, that's totally different than the guy that does the same thing in the first quarter. And for that reason alone, he or she does deserve more blame for that play at that time in the game. And you say no.
That's not how I quantify it.
Okay.
There are times where, you know, the turnovers and bad plays look a lot worse and they're more costly. And I understand that. But as a coach and as a person, and I've kind of always been like this, I can't look at one player and say, we would have won if you hadn't thrown an interception or you hadn't turned the ball over.
You can't tell the 98 Vikings that.
Because their turnovers before that, their drop passes, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of plays. So me personally, that's just how I choose to look at it.
You don't think a player, you don't think that's part of being a player that, hey, it's under 2 minutes, right? Like,
no.
I need to take the responsibility of, taking this play more serious than I would a play in the first quarter or
definitely
at the end of the half.
And that's what makes, you know, some players elite players. But I also, on the flip side, I'm not a guy who said he won the game either. Like, that's just not how I look at basketball. I don't look at it like
that. See, I guess I'm different because I told my coach this in college because he blamed me when I was playing like 6 minutes a game at the time, and he came into the locker room and in so many words tried to blame me for something that happened. And I told the team, look, guys that are playing 32 minutes a game have more, you know, they're more responsible for us winning and losing.
So I agree with that.
You can't call me out. You can't call, you know, a guy on the third string out that you put in because somebody else had foul trouble. It doesn't work like that, right? Like, this guy has shot 15 times a game.
I agree with that.
He's more responsible. And for me, when I heard that, I just thought, in the first quarter of turnover, you still have 40 or 50 possessions to make it up.
Right.
Right? When you turn that ball over in the fourth quarter, you may have one more possession. And it, to me, it's just saying, I don't know. I was surprised.
No.
And for you guys that don't know, Jabbar and I have been playing together since fifth grade. And I'm 32. You're probably 33. So that's 8, 9 years old. So we've been playing together for a while. I was surprised to hear you say that, man.
I mean, and I agree 100% with what you're saying about, you know, people that have more opportunities, they can carry more of, you know, the load. And I don't like to use the word blame. And like I said, I'm not going to put that on one or two plays or players because we play team sports, man.
So
that's kind of how I look at it.
Tone mentioned the Vikings. You don't blame Brett Favre for that interception back in 09?
I don't.
You don't?
I don't.
No. I'm talking about Gary Anderson.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, Gary Anderson, too. You don't blame him for that missed field goal?
I don't.
What are you going to tell Ray Lewis about his Billy Cundiff last year?
Man, it's part of the game, and we play team sports. As long as players, and this is just my personal opinion, as long as players miss blocks and hold and have penalties and have interceptions and fumble, you can't just say this one person is the reason why we lost the game. That's just my personal opinion and how I look at it.
I was also disappointed to find out you're a Notre Dame fan.
My favorite team.
His newfound Notre Dame love. You wrote
in all of sports.
Really?
Since
you think that be
my whole life.
Be honest. Did you think they were going to get a butthole stomped in them against Alabama?
I didn't think they would win, though.
You thought they'd compete?
Because our defense, you know, we showed up every week. So I thought we would hold them probably to, you know, 21, 28 points.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily, you know, if I had to put money on it, I would have put money on Alabama.
And you guys talked about the SEC, and I thought that was very a good observation, right? I think it was you or Zach said the SEC is like the third best division in professional football.
It's
or
a different
like that.
Animal, man.
That's what I told
it's
my
–
we were watching
beast,
the game,
man.
And I told my brother, like, Notre Dame –
it's different, man.
They're USC, Michigan State, Michigan, Navy – I said, these boys from Alabama see NFL talent day in and day out. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Auburn.
They got they
LSU,
first round picks,
Florida, Georgia.
On the bench, man.
Yeah, yeah. And I said, Notre Dame is not going to show LSU anything athletically that they haven't seen.
That's
but
true.
Notre Dame is going to see a lot that they haven't seen. And this will bring us to Manti Te'o, because I do want to know what you think about
clown
that.
Clown activity.
Okay, that's what
man.
I was going to say. When clown I first activity, heard it, I told my man, I said, this is clown activity. I don't want to hear anything about he set up a Twitter account or he was hoaxed. You cannot call somebody your girlfriend that you have not seen in 3 years. That's just me. I'm sorry. Tone, what do you think?
Especially when he's with other women along the campus and everybody knew about it. It's not your girlfriend at that point. That's a publicity thing.
Right.
And I think – if he's not lying, it falls under the category of who cares. And
he is lying. Yeah.
It falls under the category of con artist, liar, like the manipulator, kind of just
the
crazy.
The story is so fishy that it doesn't even matter to me how it plays out. Like he should be ashamed of the situation he put himself in. Like I said, it doesn't matter how it plays itself out. He should be ashamed of this whole thing, whether it's a hoax or he fell for the okie doke. That's kind of pathetic.
I don't think he fell for the okie doke because that's his man, right? Tu Asasopo is his man
from
high school.
I guess they knew each other.
So,
yeah.
You know, to me, it's like, come on now.
It's funny, though. It's one of the weirdest stories I've remember in recent history, man. Like, it just doesn't add up.
And I don't know why somebody would need to, like, Jalen Rose made a good point that he already had enough publicity, right? Like, he was already an elite player. Like, why did he need to keep this going?
Grandma is enough. Like, yeah, why do we have to add enough. To it?
And then why didn't you just keep her as your fake girlfriend? Why did you have to make her die?
My hands are up in the air on that.
And then he still doesn't get the Heisman.
Yeah, it's too much. It's too much. It's clown activity. So I'm assuming, I think you guys talked about Carmelo. I can't remember what
Carmelo
show
KG.
It was.
That was the Honey Nut Cheerios.
Okay.
Was that the show?
Yeah, I'm just going on record. I like KG.
Love
do you remember?
KG.
It's probably your first time you met KG. Remember we went to that?
Love him, yes.
And, like I said before, Jabbar and I played together in high school, and we had tickets to like the Timberwolves throw this preseason event,
yeah,
and
yeah,
the players were all there. Gugliotta, Isaiah Ryder.
It was KG's first year.
Yeah. Remember, he was shooting free throws in baseball gloves. I was like, who is this guy, man? But he was super cool. He was super cool.
Super competitive.
Yeah, too. Yeah. He's super always been like that, but... KG, if you're listening, brother, that was out. If you say what they said you said, then that was out of pocket. I can't really toast with you. And Carmelo, you know, I mean, you guys are professionals. You know, there's really no room for fist fighting in the NBA, but right. Carmelo had every right to challenge you on that. Because that, one, I will say it's clever. It's a clever joke. Because I never heard.
No. I think we debunked the Cheerios thing and it was something gay, wasn't it?
That's not what he said?
What came out after was that he told him to go down on him.
What?
And that's what Carmelo was like. Plays into what Carmelo was saying. Carmelo was saying, he said some things to me that no man should say to another man. So. I mean, that's a little more.
To go with the Cheerios.
That's a little more above the belt. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
It's a little less sexy, man. But
probably a little more common in the NBA.
Right.
So how did you guys know that this was the? You just looking online, Tone, or?
I heard it from a couple of different sources.
Oh, okay.
Just people,
okay.
People talking about it and breaking it down. So.
Okay. Because I told my brother, I was like, that I've never heard, and you know, we grew up around Jonah, and that's something everybody does in the city. And I was like, that's out of pocket, but it's super clever.
That's funny. That's good.
It's super clever. That was a good one. You guys talked a little bit about Wade and Bosh. I actually thought Spoelstra was wrong. This is not college. You're a high school coach.
Right.
Where those high school and college coaches have control.
Right.
Right? In the NBA, the coaches do not have control. Even
that's
Popovich
true.
Will tell you, he says it all the time, like Tim Duncan's allowed me to coach him.
Right.
Right? Phil will say the same thing with Michael. He had his problems with Kobe, but Kobe came around. It's a star-driven league. It's a player-driven league. Like, you can't you can't try to teach them lessons, especially when you came back. I could see if they got blown out and you left them on the bench, but you came back. Wade is by far your best guard on the team. I feel like you got to put him in. I know you guys said it was okay. It was just one game. But you see, to me, it's one game in the moment. But as famous as Wade is, as much attention as he gets, he still has a fragile ego. Like, all those stars have fragile egos.
Definitely.
And you could see, I think Tone pointed it out, or Zach maybe, his demeanor in the interview was he was hurt.
Right.
He was hurt. And to me, Spoelstra, you know, is it worth – hurting his feelings? Because what I saw in the Indiana Pacers game last year, to me, that wasn't just the moment. That was something that Wade, you remember that when Wade went at him?
Yeah.
That was something that had been, in my mind, had been building. Like Wade had stored that up and then it came to a head. You know what
right.
I mean? And do you want that to happen again, right? Like, you need this guy to play for you. You need him to be big for you. Why try to teach a lesson when you already know how he's going to react, you know?
You know, I think the angle I was coming at least, I think it was Zach that made me see this, is it might have been Jabbar just playing the devil's advocate, but, you know, some things weren't working. They had lost 3 in a row or something like that. They were, you know, 4-6 on the road or in their last 10. They're coming in, and Spoelstra's just trying to find a new way to win, a new lineup, a new group of guys in the fourth quarter.
As a coach, I understand, you know, where he was coming from, but in terms of, you know, coaching on the NBA level, you're managing egos and managing people more than X's and O's. So you have to worry about that a lot more than I would on a high school level or a college would or a coach would on a college level. But I didn't have a huge problem with it. If it was something that continued to happen, of course, it would be a bigger story. I just think it was kind of a dead period and wasn't much going on, so they needed something to talk about.
How would you, as a coach, how would you manage Wade if you were NBA assistant or head coach?
I mean, Wade, they're going to play. My best players are going to play.
Yeah.
So, like I said, but I do understand that. And I've, as a coach, you know, you ride the wave of your players. Maybe, you know, you look at them, it's not your day-to-day. Or, you know, your backups who are professionals as well. You know, they were just playing extremely well tonight and cut the 20-point lead down to 2 or something like that. And he just rolled the dice. But like I said, it's one game.
Do you think those guys respect Spoelstra?
I think they do. I don't think they respect him in the way that they respected Doc Rivers. Or I think it would be at a different level. You know, people that believe know more about basketball or you know, have more years under their belt. I think they respect him, but they'd be more likely to question, you know, some of his stuff as if Pat Riley did it. And I don't think it would have been a story at all because people assume that, you know, that he knows what he does. I think as a whole, the media doesn't assume that Spoelstra is the best coach out there.
Yeah, when I saw Wade Buck on Spoelstra last year, I thought there's no way he would have done that.
That's tough.
Pat Riley.
Oh, no, no question.
Doc or.
And it's so funny, it wouldn't even have crossed his mind.
Yeah, it really wouldn't have. It really wouldn't have. And that's a good segue into this next point. You guys talked about Prince or MJ.
Right.
I was listening to the show at 2:30 in the morning, Germany time, and I must have been rolling on the floor laughing for about 5 minutes.
Prince? Different guy.
So listen. Prince was playing the shows at the Dakota. So I read the reviews.
Uh-huh.
Reading the reviews of the first show.
Oh, okay.
And they're going through with the set list, and he really wasn't singing, and blah, blah, blah. They got to his outfit, and they said Prince was wearing gold lamé shoes with sparkles.
I'm telling you.
High heels. But the funny thing was.
Shocking.
The funny thing was I did not blink. Like, I didn't. Like, right. If you would have said Billy Joel or who's the front man for Mick Jagger.
Right.
I was like, why is he wearing high heels? But Prince, it was just like, I just kept reading the rest of the article. Gold lamé heels? Okay. What's weird
about that is if they said he was wearing tennis shoes, you would have stopped.
He's wearing Velcro, white, you know, Velcro tennis shoes.
The man, I saw him, I had the pleasure.
Oh, yeah, that's a Steve Mann flats. Right. What was he doing with Air Jordans? Oh, my God.
I had the pleasure of seeing him 2 years ago in Inglewood. At the Fabulous Forum, I saw him.
Oh, okay.
The man had on a gold suit. It was like sparkly suit, man. And he was riding around on a bicycle the whole. And it's just the man can do what he wants. He's achieved that status to where he can do whatever he wants to do. And we won't even question it. His sexuality, like any of it. It's just, that's just Prince, man.
So you went with Prince on that?
I couldn't remember. Did you? I went with Prince.
You thought he's a better entertainer than MJ?
No, I thought Mike was the better entertainer. He's the best entertainer of all time.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any question. But I was speaking in terms of like Prince being more talented as a musician and being able to write and being able to play instruments and things like that.
Oh, okay.
I think he has an edge on Mike. Mike's the best dancer, best entertainer, probably best showman of all time across any genre. I think he'll get it, but I'm just more of a Prince guy.
Man. Yeah, Minnesota boy.
That too. I'm a homer. I got a little.
And Prince, I feel like Prince is, at least in my opinion, because I didn't really listen to his '80s stuff, but it seems like Prince to me has come on stronger. Like that Musicology, that's my favorite. That's what
really,
his,
really?
His favorite
okay.
album.
Okay.
But and it seemed like Prince came on stronger, and MJ started strong in the
and
'80s,
faded,
and
then faded
just faded. You know,
end,
he just faded into oblivion. You know what I mean? Like he wasn't putting out new music.
Right.
Just like Last one, Nike and ESPN commercials. That was all this or that when I was gone was really awesome. I should let you guys keep writing them.
This was all bar.
Was it? Yeah, that was a good one. I went with the Nike, and I went with the Nike because I know you remember this commercial because I think we talked about it one time in high school. I don't know if you remember this, Tone, but two brothers or teammates, young guys, 8, 9 years old, shooting free throws in the empty gym. One of them has got the clown wig on and waving the signs, trying to make the
trying to make a miss. Trying to
and
make a miss.
And then he makes it, and then he says, "Your turn," and they switch. You remember that?
Yeah,
That was like one of my favorite Nike commercials. I don't know if you've seen the Jumpman Olympic commercial that came out this summer with the Asian guy and then the black guy.
I didn't see
that. And they're
that
playing,
one.
The black guy's playing at on his bucket at home, and then the Asian guy's over in China doing the exact same thing, and they go back
one.
And forth. You should YouTube it. It's a really good commercial. But I went with Nike. I think ESPN makes good commercials, but I think Nike's are their commercials are much more diverse.
Right.
And they just the ESPN is just kind of like, this is SportsCenter.
Right.
You know, and it's the same thing. It's an athlete. It's the on-air talent, and then right. there's some meme, and then go.
Right.
The Nike is just, like, everywhere. You know what I mean?
I went with Nike, too. Like, it has more of a global feel, like you said. And then, you know, like you said, you remember one from high school.
Yeah.
I don't think in 20 years we'll remember a particular ESPN commercial because of its creativity. And, you know, the Bo Jacksons and the Spike Lees, and you know they know what they're doing over there.
All right, we'll move into NBA talk. I'm gonna ask you this first, Tone. What's going on with the Lakers, man?
I haven't watched the last couple of games down there. 17-24 right now.
Yeah. Playoffs? What do you say?
I think so. I think they make a run. It's just because it's LA and it's that franchise. I think they make a run, but they're better start.
Yeah, they got to get started now. I think I read that they have to go like 31-12 just to hit 46. 46 wins, which is like the average over the last 3 years of the eighth seed in the playoffs. So, I don't know. What do you think?
I got to be honest. I want to see the train wreck, man. I want to see.
You think you're going to see it, though?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because D'Antoni's so stubborn, and a lot of the people that make decisions at the Lakers are so stubborn that I don't think they would, say we made a mistake here, or I think they have too much pride to make the changes that need to be made. Maybe a big trade, or some decisions with the coach. But I said this all the time, and I say this, and I think it applies to all the sports. If you make a mistake, I'm not gonna just like wallow in my mistake. I'm gonna say, hey, Christian Ponder's not the guy. I made a mistake. I'm going with somebody else. Rather than, just keep investing in something that's not working.
And that's, I don't really believe that's that. A good point, man, because in corporate America, there's a saying called fail fast,
yeah,
right? And it's like, try anything, right? Try this project. We may fund it up to, a certain point, and then you need to show us that it's going to hit the return that you projected, and if not, we're done.
Move on.
I'm like you. I think stubborn is a good word. I'm on record as wanting Phil. I thought they were going to get Phil. I thought D'Antoni would come in. What I did think he would do, Jabbar, I knew he was a fast break guy, but I did think he would open his eyes and say, you know what, let's put in some kind of high post offense. Let's put in some kind of double post offense, because Powell and Dwight are two of our four best players, and they're not fast break guys, right? And if I'm not getting a Josh Smith in here or a Stoudemire in here within the next 10 games, this is what I got to go to war with, and I need to switch up. But no, he's now Earl Clark's in the line, and Kobe is right. Like, I'm fine. I mean, Earl Clark seems to be serviceable, but
it's just not working.
That's Pau Gasol, right? Like, why is he not starting? Why is he not an integral part
of
your offense?
Really, very underutilized.
Two of the five best bigs
in the league.
In the league,
yeah. You would think that with that, you would even if this was an ideal situation, you would come in and say, you know what, I'm gonna not scrap, but I'm gonna adjust my offense so that we're running half of our plays in a double post or a high post or a high low. You know what I mean? And it's just I am against NBA players crying. They get paid too much, and they're professionals.
Right.
But I can side with Dwight and Powell in this situation, right? I really can. I can side because it's like, what are we, chopped liver? Like you said, we're two of the best five, and we're in the same team.
It's ridiculous because, speaking to, pride, I think, in my estimation, a good coach coaches his team, and he knows that every year his team is going to be different. There's going to be something different about this team, and I may have to tweak something. A guy like D'Antoni, who I think that in basketball you have to be able to coach both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
If you're just like, I don't know if you heard this, but I made the point that they hired Mike Brown, and they fired Mike Brown because he was just a defensive guy. Then they hired D'Antoni. Yeah. And they hire a guy that's just an offensive guy.
Right.
Like it's the other side of the coin, but it's still not working. And that's not a proven method of coaching anywhere.
Yeah.
Chip Kelly for Oregon. You can go down the line of, the Phoenix Suns when he was with the Phoenix Suns, he had all the talent in the world. He scored 120 points. But when the game changes during the playoffs,
right,
it's not gonna work, man.
Right.
Like the he did an interview a couple of weeks ago, and he got mad because somebody said that we spent a half hour on defense.
Yeah,
like, come on, man. Like,
I saw it. We actually talked about that on the show. And my thing
we were all mad.
Yeah, my thing was like it's.
He's like offensive coordinator, man.
Right, right. And I think. His decision to put Kobe on the. It's like he says we're gonna put Kobe on the best player, and I'm thinking Kobe's 34. You could do that when he was 25, 26, 27, maybe even 30. Kobe has lost a step. Russell Westbrook toasted him. Right? Toasted him. Was it 2 years? No, was it last year or two years ago?
Yeah. And as a GM,
playoffs.
You look at that and he's making one bad decision. Your coach, the coach you hired, is making one bad decision after another. So if you put Kobe on the best player, right, what good does Ron Artest do you? Because that's all he's going to give you. Like, it's just
right,
the
right.
things
you're taking away the primary reason he should be
it
out
just
there.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yes. And to me, it doesn't make any – even if they didn't have a Ron Artest, it's almost like – we still need this guy to be the engine on offense. He's old. We're not even halfway through the season. If we're still talking championship or even second round of the playoffs, I need to start saving him. And that's not Tony Parker to Westbrook to Chris Paul to LeBron James to Carmelo.
Mike Conley.
That's tough for Kobe, man.
I don't get it. And I don't claim to know more about basketball than Mike D'Antoni. But what my eyes see, it doesn't make sense.
And I think I don't know if you could pull the quote up, but I think Kobe came out and said yesterday in Chicago, he said things have to change. He's like, this is not working, and things need to change. And I don't know if you read this. I read it before I came over. Apparently, there was a team meeting, Kobe and Dwight got into it.
Ooh.
Kobe Dwight got into it. Steve Nash stepped in and said some things. Kobe, I guess he confronted Dwight and said, like, yes or no, do you like playing with me or not? Like, I'm reading things in the media. The thing I don't like about Dwight, and I know I'm bouncing around here. Go ahead.
I got this quote from Kobe here. We're going to have to look at some things, Bryant said after Los Angeles lost 95-83 at Chicago on Monday. We're going to have to change something. Probably going to have to post the ball a lot more, slow the game down a lot more. That's just my intuition. That's my gut right now.
And that
I have to take a look at the film again, but we're definitely going to have to change something, which is exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, and that slow the game down quote, like, is a direct refutation of whatever Mike D'Antoni.
What you guys said 3 minutes ago,
yeah,
right. And on the crawler yesterday, I also saw that he said, he said, you know, if I have to take away from mine the game to add to him. You know, mention his words. That's not exactly what he said. But he said, if I have to take less shots to give him more, I'm willing to do that if they equal wins. So it's not the L.A., man, it's not going well, man.
The thing I don't like about Dwight Howard and I don't like about Powell is that they display too much beta male attitude, right?
They're not alpha male.
Get your shots, right? Enough of the – you're out there for 35 minutes. Right. Or go up to Kobe and say – 3 or 5, whatever play, like run this play, right? Tell Nash, run this play, right? Like, I don't think Dwight Howard really has a sense of who he is. And it's not that you need to butt heads with Kobe, but it's almost like, look, I'm here too, right? Like, I'm here. I'm not trying to step on your toes. I get it. You've been here for 17 years, but I'm here too. And I feel like the Lakers would have been better off the last 2 years if Powell would have been more aggressive and saying, I don't need the coach to get me my – like, I'm Pau Gasol. I'm an all-star. I'm going to get my 20 shots. The same way Kobe gets – you can put Kobe on the Heat right now.
He's getting
I swear
his
to you, if you put Kobe on the Heat
– they get 19 shots.
Is he going to get – Kobe's going to get his shots.
Because that's his game.
He's an alpha male.
He's exactly right. He's going to get his shots. And if it means I need to butt heads with Wade – I'm not afraid to do that,
You put Melo on the Lakers, he's getting 20 shots.
He's going to get his shots.
And I just saw something else that's troubling. Dwight got hurt again today in the first quarter, something with his shoulder. Ugh. So it's looking bad. I love it, though, because I'm not a Laker guy, man. Yeah, so
I know the
I want to see the train
wreck. In there, but
yeah,
I
don't know what's going to happen.
I got a couple quick questions. KT, do the Lakers make the playoffs? And what are the terms of Howard's contract right now? I know there's a lot of talk about him leaving.
Oh, he's going to get out of there.
Yeah, I think I'll take the last one first. I think he's it's a 1 year, right? Like he doesn't.
Yeah, he's not, free agent after this year.
He's a free agent after this year. So right. I think he's out. And then I want the Lakers to make the playoffs, Tone, but mathematically, I think that it's like a 66% winning percentage.
It's winding down right now.
All the way, right.
And there's nothing in me that says they can turn it around and start playing 66%.
2-8 in their last 10 games.
In the next couple of weeks, we'll decide if they'll make it or not.
Yeah.
I think, speaking to the Dwight thing, I think this summer is going to come down to me or D'Antoni. I think it's going to come to that.
I think Jerry Buss, the dad, should really say it needs to come down between my son and Mitch Kupchak, right? His son's screwing everything up,
but they're
man.
Not going to do that.
That nepotism, yeah. The dad is old, and he's like, hey, I got to pass it on to somebody. But it was Jerry Buss's, Buss Jr.'s decision to go against Phil.
He's going to have 40 years of mistakes, right?
So, if Phil's the coach, where are they at right now?
They're an unbelievable team right now.
I think they're at least...
You think they're unbelievable?
I think they're at least four or three at the worst.
Unbelievable team right now.
At the worst. And those guys respect Phil so much. Yeah. You know, I think they respect... It's funny, right? Like, D'Antoni probably commands more respect than a Spoelstra, but, like, Phil is, like, the ultimate, like...
But
you're going to do, and, right. you know.
But a good fit is not a good fit. Like, really. And he's not a good fit that team.
Yeah, you're right. He's not a good fit.
So Howard aggravated his shoulder in the first half. They'll reevaluate him tomorrow and announce what's going to happen.
He's out. That's another week.
For the game. He didn't come back for the game the second half.
Well, and he had said, he made a big point of saying that he was putting, you know, after this conversation with Kobe this morning I told you about, he made a point of saying he was putting all that behind him and it was going to be a new Howard and –
Why do you have to reinvent yourself? Come on, man.
That's what I was
going
to say.
Howard declared earlier in the day that the Lakers season would start tonight against the Grizzlies. Yeah,
right.
If so, a new season strikingly resembles the old one, marked by injuries and defensive lapses.
To me, that I'm disappointed, and that's just – I hate to say this because people take it as a pejorative, but that's just another mark of his beta maleness, right? Like, Kobe's been ready to play since game one, right? Like, you reinvent yourself now.
Yeah, I'm gonna turn the switch on.
That's
today.
High school stuff, like, right?
On,
like
man.
That's exactly right. Like that's high school stuff to me.
Great players are always highly motivated. They don't need the rah rah speech. They don't need any reason.
They want to beat you
to go kick
that's
your,
it. They
want to
beat
put
you.
It on you. Right?
They
want to do it.
They
want
to beat you. That's all to it. That's all to it. So I know you you pay a lot of attention to NBA, man. Tell me when we've talked about this on the podcast before, but tell me what you think about OKC's player development. I'm very impressed with what they've done with Harden. You know, Cam played with Serge over in Spain his first year, so he knows Serge. Said Serge couldn't shoot, couldn't dribble, and I mean, Serge looks like a borderline, almost kind of all-star, right? Yeah. I know he won't make it, but I think he could. You know, I could if he made it, I wouldn't be like, how's he in the game, right? Kevin Durant. I maintain that when KD came out of Austin, he couldn't handle the ball as well as he does now. I've seen Kevin Durant cross three people over. I've seen him handling in the open court very comfortably. And then Russell Westbrook, right? Nobody really knew what – we knew he was an athlete, but nobody really knew what he was coming out of UCLA. He was a two guard. I think he's – to me, I mean, he's a little bit out of control, but I still like him as a point guard just because he's so dang athletic and competitive. And I just think Sam Presti and whoever else is on the inside of that player development, I think they've done a wonderful job, man. I think the rest of the 29 other teams could take a note from Sam Presti on how to develop players.
They I think they kind of run it and they kind of pattern it kind of like the San Antonio Spurs.
That's where Presti came from, right?
Right, that's where he came from, right? So I mean, and you can see the fingerprints all over the Oklahoma. They draft well. They draft, you know, character. They draft talent, and then they develop it. You know, when they get it. I mean, what can you say, man? Like, these guys have added things in their game every year, man. And just to be so young and you use the word competitiveness to just compete every day is hard for a lot of players to do. But I think they've already established, like, if you come to us, we're going to expect this, and you're going to have to play a certain way.
Right.
And that speaks volumes, you know, as an ex-player, man, to go into a place like that. You know you got to bring your A-game or else you're going to be the 12th man.
Right.
And that's just the standard that they have because you're not going to outwork Westbrook and KD and Ibaka and Perkins because it's going to be a problem.
Right. And I read a quote from Jeremy Lamb when he first got there where he was in the gym And I think it was after practice. And he said he was surprised that, I think it was like an hour after practice, he was surprised that KD and Westbrook were still there. And like you said, that's just a culture. He's just building a culture now. Because now Jeremy Lamb, maybe in Houston, maybe he doesn't see that. Now he's on the top team, and the top players are doing this night in, night out, shoot around, practice, days off. He said, what other choice do I have but to get on the court? I need to do exactly what these guys are doing.
And those are things that mold the younger guys, too.
Yeah.
Probably, like for him, that's probably the best thing that's going to happen to him, for him to learn that lesson that young in his career. Because a lot of players, my old roommate used to play for the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, I heard you say that.
He's a coach with the Spurs now. But he talked about playing for the Spurs and then the next year going to the Sacramento Kings. And he's like, the Kings is like a D-League team.
Yeah.
He was like, it was just roll the balls out. Like, we're talking million-dollar athletes and coaches getting paid. Just roll the balls out and players telling the coaches what to do. He said it was a circus, man. And he said, as a player who, was never a star, he was like, man, I didn't want to be there.
Right.
Because he had been, to an organization that was first class and to go to one of the worst organizations. He said it was just horrible.
And I will say that I think that, the player development and the organizational structure has to be there. But I do think that guys like Jordan, Kobe, Duncan, KD, guys that want to work hard, guys that you feel like if they were just making $500,000 a year, they still be working that hard because they love to play and they love to compete. I think that makes it, Presti will say that KD makes it easy, right? Because he's our best player. And it's cliche to say this, but you probably, as a coach, you're finding this to be true. Like, our best player or our best players, they work hard and set the tone. They listen to coaches. They take criticism. If you're the seventh guy and the top guy's not talking back to the coach when he gets yelled at, or the top guy's in practice 30 minutes early, What choice do you have, right? Like, you really don't have a choice.
That's the difference between the good teams and the teams that aren't so good. Yeah. Like, you can look at that one particular point. Like the Kings, their best player is an idiot, man. DeMarcus Cousins, who is one of the – he's a top 10 talent probably, but, in terms of maturity and all that, he's an idiot.
Yeah.
So they're going to follow suit.
I really wish DeMarcus Cousins was in, like, Boston.
But he's
or
too,
San Antonio.
He's too good to go there, though.
Yeah, but
in terms of talent, right?
Yeah, but
I think he needs it more than he could ever know.
He does, because he's going to respect Doc. KG's not going to let him get away with that. And you would see a different player in 2 years.
They need to get a Jerry Sloan or somebody that they really respect there to get the shit right.
So I'm going to give you four names. Tone, I'm going to start with you. And you guys tell me where these guys finish in the MVP race. And you guys may have done a version of this before, but I want to try.
We talked about one and two, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, given.
Chris Paul, Carmelo, LBJ, and Durant.
LBJ, Durant, Chris Paul, Carmelo.
Carmelo's last.
Yeah.
Wow. I agree with that.
Really?
Yeah. Same order,
100% Jabbar? Same order.
Nice.
So you guys don't think Durant's going to get it out of some kind of, LeBron's – you said LBJ first, right?
Correct.
Okay, and I would agree with that. I think LBJ is
– We had an LBJ segment when you were gone.
Did you?
It was just, this guy is a total athlete. This is everything.
It's unbelievable how comfortable we are with the amazing numbers he's putting up.
Yeah.
It's like 29, 8, and 8. It's like, that's an average day at the office for him. And if any other player in the league was averaging that, he'd be the top everything.
Right.
Durant, and no disrespect to him at all, he may win by default because of
LeBron's won
a
already.
New face, right? LeBron's won. They may have the best record, a number of different things. But LeBron is playing at a level that, I can say, since Mike, I haven't really seen. I mean, Kobe has some amazing years. I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment.
Right.
But LeBron is coasting to the league.
I think they're going to Charles Barkley him and give it to KD, even though, Jordan had an amazing year that year.
Yeah.
I would like to see that not happen. I would like to see the writers and coaches and whoever else, have the courage to say, no.
It's just what it is, right?
This year, he's still better. Maybe in 2 years, KD overtakes him, but right now, LeBron is still a better player. Do you think the Heat beat the Thunder in the championship if they both make it?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
I'm interested to get your opinion. I know we got to move on. What do you make of Wade this year? I think he's lost a step. I think he's lost some elevation. I think part of what we see with him on a daily basis, these quotes, some of the attitude, I think he's struggling with
not being a man,
not being able to do that. Not necessarily not being the man, because I think he said that last year.
But not playing at the level he's used to playing.
To do what I'm able to do athletically, and I'm trying to figure out a new game, and my jumper really doesn't let me, you know, I don't have a post cap. You know what I mean? Like,
my response to that is this. I agree with you 100%, but I'll say the caveat to that is LeBron's gotten better.
So he makes up for it.
Makes up for
okay.
it. Because the drop off isn't that great.
Yeah, it's not.
But LeBron is literally, he's on autopilot, and I think in the finals he's just gonna turn it on.
So I think you're right. And then I think now as I think about Ray Allen, because you're gonna have to, the game's gonna slow down, the rotations are gonna shrink, and you're not under 2 minutes, even fourth quarter, you're not gonna wanna leave Ray Allen. So that's gonna be one perimeter defender that can't help. So I think you're right. What do you make about, I thought Bosch would come in a little more motivated this year to step in and really say, I want to be who I was in Toronto. And kind of like we talked about with Powell, start saying, you know what, I'm going to be a 2010 guy. If I need to step on LeBron's toes a little bit, or I need to step on Wade's toes a little bit, like I'm going to step into, you know, really being the third wheel. Because, you know, he's got, they kind of diss him now, say Chris, he's not really part of the big three, like blah, blah, blah.
He wasn't healthy last playoff, so he rolled into the championship game and that was the factor, I think, after the first game.
Yeah. He did have. He did when he came back. He had a pretty good playoffs.
Chris Bosh and Powell cut out the same cloth.
You think so?
They're not alpha males.
Yeah.
Just look at how Powell dominated at Memphis, and I just think I don't expect much from Chris Bosh, to be honest.
And see, that scares me though.
He has the European game. He's not a you know me, KT. We play, like I say, we've known each other. Big men that don't rebound and don't defend and don't block shots, I'm not really. Yeah. No, unless you're Dirk and you're an exceptional.
Right.
Like, come on, man. Like,
I did think he would have a, because to me, rebounding is all effort.
That's all it is.
Or mostly effort, that's all it right? Is. I guess there's some technical skill there, but
85% effort.
It's probably mostly effort. Yeah. And it seems like, I think he averages 8 boards, and I'm like,
when Reggie Evans is 6'5". And can average 10 rebounds. Come on, Chris Bosh. Right. He's Stoudemire. He's trying to sit at the elbows.
That's what scares me, because I think they're going to need more than just LeBron being outstanding to go. Remember, they struggle with Indiana, struggle with Boston, and, you know, OKC kind of gave them all they wanted for those first couple
games. I will say this, though. I do think this is the last year that Miami will be on that level. Yeah.
Unless they make some changes.
Chris Bosh averaging an underwhelming 7 rebounds per game.
Right. That's unacceptable.
That's pathetic.
Yeah, that's unacceptable. And he's the center, right? So that's even
–
he had argued before that he had to share boards with Haslam or some excuse like that. And I was just like, well, Haslam's not starting now. So LeBron's still a perimeter player, really.
Right.
You're down there by yourself, man. I mean, 8 boards in 48 minutes, that's
at 6'10", they should fall in your – 6'11", fall baby. In your hands.
6'11".
Exactly right. Exactly right. All right, let's transition to NFL talk. I actually like the section. The reason I don't talk about NFL on the podcast previously is because I like football. I don't love it.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Vikings. I don't love football. And I'm going to admit this for the first time publicly. This past weekend was my first time actually watching a full NFL game this whole year. All right. So my Sunday usually works like this. The first quarter.
We're here for you, man.
The first quarter I watch, I go back to my office. I'm doing some work with the TV on. Halftime, TV goes off. I check the ticker on my computer, and if the game is close, then I go and turn it on. I don't know if you guys read this. I told this to Cam while I was in Germany. I saw a stat that for a 2.5-hour football game end-to-end on TV, there's only 11 minutes of actual action. There's only 11 minutes.
Because each play is 3 seconds long.
Right, and then the play clock is 45 seconds, right? So that's astounding, right?
Like, that's fascinating.
And 2.5, but when you think about it, like Tone just said, like each play is 5 seconds, 7 seconds, and then it's dead, and then they're running back to the huddle.
And then commercial breaks. Yeah. I mean, there's breaks and timeouts for commercials.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
So I did watch the divisional finals or whatever they
AFC
call
and NFC championship.
Yeah, I follow Kaepernick. I like Kaepernick's story, man. Okay. I do. I like Kaepernick's story.
For real?
I think he is, man. No question. I think he is. I think Cap's for real.
I think he is too, man.
And I think I love Jim, in San Francisco. Jim. I love that guy, man, because he to me is the example of coaches matter, right? Who was the guy there
Singletary
before?
Singletary had the same team.
Right, and it was trash, right? Like Vernon Davis hated him, and Alex Smith struggled, and then this guy comes in, and the reason I like him, Harbaugh, even more, and I'm pulling for the Niners, is that there was no legitimate reason to bench Alex Smith, other than Harbaugh saying, I've seen this kid practice.
Take guts.
I know more than you guys know. You know what I'm saying? Wow. Everybody was like, what? Who is this? From
Nevada? With a winning record, too.
That takes guts.
With a winning record, and Alex Smith was not chopped liver. Alex Smith had gotten a lot better.
Better than average quarterback, definitely.
Exactly right. Exactly.
And they
right.
had given him so they had given him a 3 or 4 seasons to grow into that team, which is so rare these days.
But to me, it was like Harbaugh rolled the dice, right? He was just like, we made it to the conference finals last year. I want the Super Bowl, and I think this kid can take us to the Super Bowl. Right. And he did it, and it worked. And I don't know. I'm going for the Niners, man.
Probably the last coach you'd ever want to meet in a dark alley, Jim Harbaugh.
He seems like he's not scared to fight you if he has to.
Well, you remember the Detroit deal? Where that whole thing.
He didn't want none of that.
You talking about the coach from Detroit?
Yeah, he didn't want
that. He did not.
You see him lose that challenge?
He went crazy.
On Sunday, he went
crazy.
Nuts.
Went crazy.
He flipped out. This is my thing with Kaepernick. And I look at players like Cam Newton. There's a lot of brilliant defensive guys in the NFL. Once they get a year of tape on you, then you can really judge how good a kid is. But, he has all the talent in the world. He has composure. He got legs, arm strength, accuracy, a good running game, a good defense. So his situation is tailor-made for success. And I think he's going to be good.
Who do you think you taking? You're a Ravens fan too, right? If I'm not,
Ray Lewis is my favorite football player of all time.
Okay,
but
can you do his dance?
Never tried him. Right. I never tried him. I would never try.
Does he have a name for that dance?
It's called the Kirby Shuffle.
Really?
Yeah, it's after his uncle. His uncle used to do it.
Okay.
But you know, with the Niners, Randy Moss, man. I love to see Moss get one. Man.
You got a couple nice catches.
I would love to see Randy Moss get one.
I saw him.
I would love it for all the haters. I would love it.
I like Randy. It's surprising that he's still that guy must have been full of talent. That he's 35, 36.
Great Dane, man. Yeah.
Terrible attitude, full of talent, but I think he's calming down as he gets older here.
Well, the attitude
still running a 4.3 or something
to your skill set, right? Like he can't have a bad attitude because he's the fourth receiver on the team, right? But he's still contributing, you know?
There was talks of him not making the cut for that team because they had so many receivers. That were
he's still taking the tight. He's still making it easy for running backs, though, and tight ends, you know, underneath.
You can't ignore him.
Because one of the first plays he was in the other day, they replayed it, and they showed how far off the DB was. He's playing like 7 yards off, man.
Off of Moss?
You don't want Moss to run by you, man. If you get ahead of steam, it's over.
Okay. I have a good friend of mine, I asked him to teach me things about the NFL because I still don't know, right? Like, I don't know what cover two is. I hear, like, what's the guy, Gruden? He's like, they're in cover two. And I'm just like, I kind of know what the option is. I mean, everybody knows, but then I hear, like, read option. I'm like, is that different than the normal option? And so this is just part of my, like, I love basketball, right? I mean, I can deep dive into basketball all day, but I stopped playing football in like 7th grade, and I just kind of like I said before, I'm more of a Vikings fan and not really an NFL guy. But I thought this segment was great. We could have introduced it a little earlier. We'll definitely do a Super Bowl wrap up next week or the week after that, just to talk.
Well, let's take our picks right now. Bar, you're a Ravens fan, but
this is probably the first time I can ever say that I'm a watch the Super Bowl. And I'll be okay with whoever the victor is. I am a Ravens guy.
Who takes it though?
I'm a Ravens guy, and they already have one, so I'm going Niners.
You did a lot of hedging there, man. It was like 30 seconds of hedging.
Because my heart's in Baltimore, okay. Man.
How about KT, football connoisseur here?
I'm going with Cap, man. I like the story. I like Harbaugh. I think they're not, you know. And I'm an NFC guy, too. I always go with the NFC.
They're easy to like, man.
Yeah, they really are. It's a good story all around.
I got to go Baltimore, just the Ray Lewis story. I want to say, like, I wanted a team I didn't like. We don't like Atlanta because they beat the Vikings years ago, so we don't like them. I can't stand the Patriots. I got a lot of respect for Belichick and Brady. I wanted to see a team I didn't like go against a team I really like. These are my two favorite teams outside of the Vikings.
I know we're cutting it close. Did you hear what Wes Welker's wife said?
Out of pocket. The Patriot
goodness,
wags
man.
Are just they're Giselle
oh my
and
it's on the outline, baby.
Yeah, it was crazy.
They putting a hit out on your husband next year.
It was
man.
Crazy. I thought it was and it was almost like I could see kind of Giselle's frustration last year.
Now that was a little different.
And it really
because
wasn't
because she's talking about football.
And she wasn't somebody caught her doing that, right? Right. Welker's wife put this on Facebook. Like, this is
crazy,
what I want to put
man.
Out there.
That's
I just
nuts,
thought, yeah, it was.
That's trash.
She was out of
man.
Pocket. I'm sure Wes is like, babe,
he's
come
hot
on,
about that.
Man.
Right?
You gotta tone that
no
down.
No tact at all, man.
Yeah, she took it down. You know, it's.
Damage is done.
It's
though.
Pretty bad. Oh, definitely. Yeah, screenshot captured.
You can't
article
knock
written.
Me down
the timing of it.
And,
the timing of it. It was just all. Everything about it was bad.
Right. But I'm telling you, man, those wags get into they're emotionally invested. You guys think they're bad here? Like you guys should the soccer wags in Europe? Yes. It's a wrap.
That's where the term comes from.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a wrap. Yeah, that's where the term comes from. All right, so you want to move into to this or that, Tone? You gonna moderate here?
Yeah. Here we go. We'll start with Jabbar, Joy Bryant or Zoe Saldana.
Now we did this before for those people listening. We're not recycling.
This is for Bar.
I just wanted to get Jabbar's opinion. I think I know where Zach landed, and I know where I landed.
So Zoe's the chick from
Star Trek, and she was in Avatar, but you couldn't really see her.
Neither of them is tore up.
I like what I saw though from Avatar. I don't know the other one.
You don't know Joy? Antoine Fisher.
Ooh.
50 Cent, and then what was 50? Get Rich or Die Trying. She was 50 Cent's girl.
Skeleton Key, London.
I'm going Joy, man.
Okay. I think Zach took Zoy. I took Joy. I said Joy is
I'm
the kind of
Joy. I took Joy last time as well.
Did you take Joy too?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I think
I'm
Joy
going
is
there.
The kind
She's
of
a cute girl.
Kind of girl I want to marry.
I'm going there.
No, seriously, man.
Hey, I ain't mad at you, man.
All right, KT, for the Vikings,
ooh,
Mike Vick or Alex Smith?
Oh, I forgot I wrote that.
Man, it's a no-brainer, man.
Oh, it should be. I like Vick, though. Vick's my guy. Vick's my guy. And I've been saying, I actually said 2 years ago when he went to Philly. I said we should have got him, left him on the bench with Favre that year to just – help him recalibrate and get back, you know, used to the NFL life. And then, because he started off well, right? That when he took back over for the guy, he started off well.
He had a phenomenal year.
I don't know, Tone. I'm going to go with Vic.
But when are we going to stop getting these recycled Philadelphia quarterbacks?
Yeah, but to me, I was thinking about that on the way
McNabb,
over here.
McNabb, Cunningham.
We could have drafted Kaepernick. We had scouts
out there.
We drafted Ponder, right? And
we could have had Big Red, Andy Dalton.
Yeah, Harbaugh knew more than, and the Cincinnati, Marvin Lewis, they knew more than what we did, right? And, Dalton's been in the playoffs for 2 years, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
So
but as Vic gets older, he's just going to turn into an option guy, though.
But I want to win. I don't like, if we would have went to the Super Bowl in 2009, I'd be good with like, another five
I don't
years.
Think
I, don't care.
I don't think our wins lie in Vic.
You think Smith?
I think we have a better shot with Smith.
You think so?
Alex Smith's not going to win us any games. He won't go and win a game for you.
Can he get us to the Super Bowl?
Mike Vick put in the right position.
Can win you some games?
Oh, yeah. We'll have the number one rushing attack in the league.
That's true.
Without question. And he'll make plays that need to be made, maybe the 9 yards. And you got to think, in Philly, their offensive line was atrocious, man. Yeah. He got hit more than any other quarterback by a long shot. So I say Michael Vick because we need a splash. We need something different.
Right.
And Alex Smith is a good quarterback. He's not going to win. He won't lose you a lot of games. He won't win you games. Though.
Right, right.
So I go Vick. It's not even close to me.
I think, to me, the only thing I'm concerned about, and I don't really know the the coaching staff for the Vikings, but I do think Vic needs like a good Harbaugh type of, right? Like Harbaugh's he was a quarterback, right?
Yep.
And then he was
he's a
Bears
Luck
was his guy. And yep. So I feel like you need that to help develop. I think like Kaepernick benefits from that, right? Like having the head man's a quarterback. And I feel like we need, I don't know who our offensive coordinator is, our quarterback's coach, but I think they need to be good.
Somebody like that.
Yeah. Right. To help Vic out. But
and I respect Leslie. I'm not a big Leslie Frazier fan as a head coach.
No?
Nah.
He's a defensive guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you like Childress better as a...
No.
No?
No. Not Tice either.
Would you fire... No, I thought Tice was a joke. Would you fire Leslie and get a new guy?
I'm not saying if somebody like Bill Cowher or John Gruden were available, I would make a move.
Yeah.
See, I'm a GM. Like, I'm not going to pass up opportunities right. like that just to save face or save a couple dollars. And, nah.
Okay.
I'm trying to win.
No, I hear you.
Would you have taken Lovie Smith then?
No.
He didn't pick up a job.
He's not.
I'm not surprised.
He's not that much of an upgrade from.
Yeah.
No, he's about the same.
But Cowher or somebody
taken
like
Andy
that.
Andy Reid though. I like Andy Reid.
Andy Reid's pretty good.
I like Andy Reid.
Our offensive coordinator is Bill Musgrave, and Ponder is kind of his little project, and that's why it's been a hell of a Ponder project.
One of my colleagues at work is saying give Ponder a chance. My thing is, I've seen enough, and I just admitted that I don't even really watch football, right? So if I've seen enough, and I'm not being biased, I'm saying just from my analysis, like really, you know, analyzing Ponder, he's not the winning quarterback we need. So we need to move on, right? Whether that's Geno Smith or somebody else in the draft, right. The kid from USC.
Just don't say Joe Webb.
No, not the Joe yeah, Webb's
your,
not the
your
answer.
Your point on Joe Webb we're
done with it.
I'm down with giving Ponder a chance.
Well, the backup quarterback is always
he's good. Already had a chance.
He's
yeah,
had,
Tone, you don't think
he's
Ponder's
had one season?
He had two seasons.
Yeah,
two.
Yeah, he
started
nothing,
after what 4 or 5 games.
Yeah. He had nobody last year.
Yeah, nobody this year.
He there's flashes of brilliance. I think he needs time. I'm not going to say he's, you know, the next
Aaron
Rodgers.
So, let me put it to you like this, right? You're the general manager, right? You can draft Barkley or
Geno.
Whoever. You can get Vic or Alex Smith through free agency, you can give Ponder another
That's
year.
A hell of a question.
What are you going to do?
I'd keep Ponder.
What?
I think Alex Smith is going to be the same thing as Ponder.
Next question. Oh wow.
You're gonna keep Christian Ponder.
I'd keep Ponder.
And you think, hold on.
What do you see in him?
How do you compare Alex Smith to Ponder? Alex Smith is way better in my mind than Ponder. Like Alex if Alex Smith is the quarterback, I feel like they beat the Packers and they still make the conference finals. Like to me that's night and day. Ponder is not on the same
I don't think so. I think they're both right now at least kind of game manager types. I think Ponder's a really smart guy.
There's different levels of game management, right? Like
Yeah.
Alex Smith's a game manager, but he's a hell of a game manager, man.
I like
Ponder,
Alex Smith
not
too.
Not so much, man.
And just going back to what you said, I like Mike Vick a lot. He's the most exciting quarterback to watch in the league, hands down.
I hope we get Vick, but I think Brian Kelly's going to keep him.
I don't think he's got a long career, and that's what I'm scared of because he's such a gamble on that.
Yeah, but
front.
Wouldn't you feel like ultimate elation if we went to the Super Bowl next year?
And then Vic retired,
and then I was like, I don't care, right? Like, I want us to get to the Super Bowl
of course,
my lifetime,
yeah.
man. Like,
no, A, I'd be thrilled if we had him in our back pocket, but I don't want him to be the only starting quarterback, and that's all we got.
Yeah, but then we got to get somebody through the draft because Ponder's on our – Ponder was a reach, right? Tone, when they drafted Ponder, were you like, oh, yes, this is the guy we wanted? Or
no.
What the hell are we doing? Like, that's what I was thinking, like – how did he get so high up on the draft board? He's not that good. That was my thought. I didn't think he was that good.
I think
college.
Stick with him for a season and see what happens. Another season.
All right.
I know Barr doesn't agree over there.
Another season is a long – that's we're talking another what? 18
that's
a, months?
That's another that's year a, off AP's life. That's another year off Jared Allen's career.
That's Percy Harvin.
Kevin Williams. Yeah, come on.
Well, let's see what they're going to do.
Man.
Come on.
I bet they do that just that.
What we have next, Tone? Was that it?
Now here we go. It's a good one. Go back to Barr for this. Belichick or Parcells in his prime?
Bill Belichick is a jerk. Parcells is a different kind of jerk, I go Belichick, because his system is proven. I'm not taking anything away from Bill Parcells, because he's a proven winner, and I think he could turn any program around tomorrow. But Belichick, I mean, the man could pick somebody up off the street and plug them into his system, and they're going to be okay. I will say that things may change. My opinion may change when I see him without Tom Brady, because he's had Tom Brady for all of these years, and he made a tough decision with Bledsoe, you know, putting Tom Brady in. But the man's a genius, man, and his team is always prepared. And it's never been out coached. I'm not, and like that doesn't take anything away from Bill Parcells, but I will go Belichick. I think he's a top two or three guy of like that I've seen in my era. Yeah. He's incredible.
And I don't hate New England the way some people do.
People hate excellence,
but I think to me, again, it just seems like I know they haven't won a Super Bowl in like 7 years or something like that, but just stating that fact alone means that they must be elite, right?
And there's something to be said, because people always think they're going to be there.
They
Patriots always think they're going to be there.
Well, and that was my point I was going to make, that it seems like every year the Patriots, to me, have been in the mix since
they're
that
perennial
first,
winners.
Yeah, since that first. And I know my buddy said that they're in a weak division with New York and Buffalo and Miami,
yep.
So I guess there's some credence to that, because that's six games.
The Jets haven't always been weak, and Miami hasn't always been weak. We're talking, what, 10 years,
that's
something
true.
Like that?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's
– And he was just saying the last few years.
Right.
So, yeah, that's true. That's true. But, yeah, I mean, just the point that it was almost like North High School back in the day, University of Michigan, Notre Dame football. You just all, when you say that name, Kansas basketball, North Carolina, Duke, you're just like, oh, even if it's a down year for them, they still may squeak into the Final Four. Or,
right.
You know? So I'm going with Belichick. I think if I was Bob Kraft and I was the owner, I would probably have a heart to heart with him and let Belichick know that I appreciate your diligence, but this is also entertainment, right? First and foremost, it's entertainment, not sport. Because you guys could go do this on your own on the weekend and nobody
business,
would watch,
right?
And we need you to be a little more engaging. You know what I mean? Like, people like personalities, right?
Like, and that's why, like I said, Parcells is a different kind of
he
jerk.
He does that well.
But when at his press conference, you're gonna hear what Bill Parcells has to say.
Yeah, yeah.
And Bill Belichick lacks that. But he makes up for it with the on the field stuff, but
And that's what I didn't like about Childress either. It's almost like, like Phil Jackson seems to get it. Like, I need to be a personality.
To be engaging, because if we feel that, you know, the players feel like that. Like, he's just drab. He's just a drab guy. He could use some work in that area. But when you win, you could kind of do what you want to do, man.
That's so true. That's true.
I think he kind of hangs his hat.
Yeah, Childress had that attitude, but without the record.
Right.
Yeah,
which is uncalled for completely. I got to go Belichick, man. I respect the hell out of the guy. Trick plays.
That's hard not to.
Pulling trick plays on Sunday. I'm like Jabbar said, I'm really interested to see what he does without his golden boy, Tom Brady. But I have the utmost respect for that organization. They're a winning organization.
All right, we're out. Zach is out this week, but he will be back with us next week. Jabbar has agreed to join us again next week. For Tone, this is KT. KT got game. Request the flow. I might be busy, a sound boy, baby, yo. Some things you just can't cancel, you know. Because I never phone need.